Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Hello and welcome back to Movie Mike's Movie Podcast. I am your host, Movie Mike, joined this week by my wife and co-host, Kelsey. How are you?
I'm good, except you just tried to drink my coffee.
My bad. I thought it was my coffee. We are here to talk about the best and worst movies of March. In the movie review, we'll be talking about Godzilla, Kong, the New Empire, and in the trailer park, we have a look at the new Bad Boys movie, Bad Boys Ride or Die.
This month really flew by.
It really did. I know I say that every single month, but it was literally here, and now it's gone, and now there are so many more good movies coming out that I can't wait just to get into summer.
April's about to be a huge month. We have Civil War, Challengers.
Ooh, I've been waiting for that movie for so long. We'll also get into some movie news. We'll do thumbs up, thumbs down on these new reboots that are happening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being subscribed. Shout out to the Monday Morning Movie Crew. And now, let's talk movies.
In a world where everyone and their mother has a podcast, one man stands to infiltrate the ears of listeners like never before in a movie podcast. A man with so much movie knowledge, he's basically like a walking IMDb with glasses. From the Nashville Podcast Network, this is Movie Mike's Movie Podcast.
All right, we'll kick it off now, getting right into the best and worst. Kelsey, you started off. What was the best thing you saw in March?
Driveaway Dolls.
And that was the movie about the two girls who take a trip down to Tallahassee, realize they have something in their car that some criminals want. And it's a pretty wacky movie, but I also like that aspect of it.
It's wacky. It's raunchy. Listen, it's no secret that I love a female-led raunchy comedy. My favorite movie of all time is Bridesmaids.
Those are kind of making a comeback right now.
I think it's great. Listen, we have so many raunchy dude movies. That's always been the genre. American Pie, mm-hmm. Superbad, Wedding Crashers, The Hangover. I'm probably missing like 17 more.
A lot of raunchy dude comedies. It's more common. I feel like
give the females some raunchy comedies. I think it's hilarious.
I feel like some people may have a problem with the switch because it feels more normal for a guy to be raunchy. But whenever a female lead or female character start doing that, people are like, oh, this is weird.
It's Women's History Month. Let us have our raunchy comedies.
I feel like they should happen more often because I just find it more refreshing.
It's not just, I won't say it because I know children listen. It's not D jokes the whole movie.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Is I feel like, I mean, not even just movies, but like stand-up comedy. A dude can just get up there and talk about his private parts and it's like, ah, he's doing comedy.
Or about women. I won't say what show, but you and I went to a comedy show one time and it was the most lowbrow, misogynistic comedy. Just like think of any like terrible thing that a comedian could try to like swing for to make someone laugh. And you looked at me and you were like, do you want to leave? And I was like, I've never wanted to leave somewhere more.
And we left. But I agree with that. And I think this is a really good movie. One that I feel like will probably go unnoticed a little bit because it was a smaller budget movie.
But maybe it will pop off on streaming like Booksmart did.
I think it definitely will. I think comedies in general will have a better run in streaming just because this movie didn't have the biggest leads attached to it, although Margaret Qualley.
Beanie Feldstein.
Yeah, I just feel like in the grand scheme of people not who are going to sell tickets, probably not going to. But once it goes to streaming, I feel like comedies do better there. The problem is if a comedy just goes on to streaming and doesn't really make money, it's hard to make another movie like that again. And I think that's the reason we see less and less comedies is because they're not as profitable. Therefore, studios don't want to invest in them because they really don't get a whole lot out of them. Even though for a movie like Driveaway Dolls, that is a good movie, on paper, you look at the numbers and you think, oh, that movie flopped, which is not the case all the time. So hopefully once that movie goes to streaming, it does pretty well. For my best of the month, it was kind of along the same lines of Driveaway Dolls. It is Love Lies Bleeding, which you didn't go see with me.
I did not. I was out of town.
But it's the Kristen Stewart movie. I feel like the plot is a little bit similar as far as being two female leads dealing with a type of crime, except Love Lies Bleeding has the A24 treatment, and in this case is a lot more dramatic, a lot more violent, not that same comedic tone as Driveaway Dolls, but I feel like the audience for both of those movies are probably a little bit of the same. And this was a movie I went into just loving the aesthetic of it. I have like a weird fascination with Kristen Stewart as an actress.
I'm here for the Kristen Stewart renaissance.
I think this movie should start her comeback. Not that she ever really fully went away.
Yeah, but it was hard because she did Twilight and it was one of those where you do one project and it starts your career and it's what the only thing you're ever known as. And I'm like, did we really think that a movie about a high schooler marrying a vampire, having a baby who ends up being imprinted on by her werewolf best friend was anyone's showcase of talent? No.
But it put her on the map?
Put her on the map, but I think that she is such a talented actress and I'm excited to see her getting better roles, and her press tour for this has been really fun. I just watched part of her interview that she did with Seth Meyers and it was really funny because she has that like such good just like deadpan humor. Mm-hmm. She's so good at that. And you can't tell if sometimes she's being serious or facetious, and I find that hilarious.
And kind of along the same lines of her co-star in Twilight, Robert Pattinson, who has also had that same struggle of not being viewed as Edward from Twilight. I think it was hard for people to even see him cast as Batman because they just saw him as the vampire.
But he was great.
But he was so good in that.
Are they making another one of those?
Yes, it got delayed another year, so probably won't come out. It was supposed to come out next year, probably won't come out until 2026. That movie takes so long to film, and it was kind of along the same lines of what happened with the first one. I would rather them take their time, get filming started, and make it great than just try to rush it and put it out next year. I think there's also a lot of restructuring happening right now on the DC side of James Gunn taking over. He's trying to build something and not confuse audiences, which I think is their biggest struggle right now, because they're going to come back out with another Superman movie, and then people are going to associate it with the Superman movie from 10 years ago, and then if he has a Batman in that world, the other Batman is going to, it's going to be a lot of confusing even for people who are dialed in.
What confuses me, and I know I've said this before, apologies for being a broken record, is the fact that James Gunn is Sean Gunn's brother, and Sean Gunn played Kirk on Gilmore Girls. Mm-hmm. He also has a guest role in Guardians of the Galaxy.
He's in a lot of his movies.
But I just, like, all I see him as is Kirk in Gilmore Girls. And I know you haven't watched Gilmore Girls with me, but Kirk is the wackiest, kookiest character, and I just, like, can't take him seriously or anything else. But it's just so funny that Kirk's brother is making all of these superhero movies.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I never saw him as the guy from Gilmore Girls until I saw him out protesting during the writer's strike, and they like credited him as Gilmore Girls actor. I was like, oh yeah, I guess that's what he's known for more.
One of my favorite Christmas gifts was our sister-in-law, your brother's wife, gave me a sticker, and it says, a film by Kirk. And only Gilmore Girls fans would get the reference, but it is a prized possession.
Yeah, that was a show I never really got into. Not that I was opposed to getting into it.
It's my comfort show, that and Friends. If I need to like fall asleep to something, it's either Gilmore Girls or Friends.
My comfort show right now is Community, which is at the
leaving
time
leaving Netflix.
Of this episode coming out, we'll have left Netflix.
RIP Community.
Oh man, I watched that show so much during like the early 2010s when it was still on the air.
pretty funny.
And going back and rewatching it, I'm like, a lot of this still holds up. Although it is weird, some of the references, even just 10 years ago, it's like, man, you can't say that anymore. And that's with any comedy.
But all right, I've derailed us. Sorry.
But that is our best of March. Now, what was your worst?
People aren't going to like me for this. It was Dune 2.
I found a lot of people agreed with me in thinking that movie was quite boring.
It didn't do it for me. It wasn't even, the plot's not bad. The movie's not bad. I just was bored.
It's just boring. At the end of the day, it is just boring.
I came home and did like a, no pun intended, a Wikipedia wormhole about Dune. Mm-hmm. Rabbit hole, whatever you want to call it. And I was like, still don't get it. I get that it's like critically acclaimed, but I still don't get it.
I get the majority of it. I get its intention. It is a commentary, almost like a spiritual commentary of like somebody being the chosen one, people choosing to rally behind that person kind of living up to that. You have this whole religious war going on in the film. But I just found myself thinking like, I don't care either way what happens to these characters. And aside from the visual aspect of Dune and the action aspect, I think those fight sequences are really great. There's just nothing really to grasp onto. And with a movie that has such an amazing cast, all those people individually are great and could lead their own movie. But the fact that they're all in one movie, that mixed with the great director, it should be my favorite movie of the year. I just feel like you have to be a really big film nerd to really enjoy Dune. And I'm not that level of nerd. And if you are that level of nerd, more power to you, because I feel like being alive at a time where this is happening right now, and you can watch one, you can watch two, and anticipate that they're going to make three, is a great time to be a Dune fan. With all these 80s movies coming back, that's probably the one that the people are most hype on. For me, I just don't get it. I'm not into it. So I agree with you in being one of the worst that we saw last month, mainly just because I wanted to doze off.
It was so long, too. Listen, you can't be boring and long.
And I was hoping that going to see it in theaters would change how I felt about the movie, that I would be more just engulfed in the movie, because we watched the first one at home when, I mean, that was another weird time that movie came out straight to HBO Max at the time.
I think we also messed up in seeing in the evening. We needed to do like a 3 p.m. show and like chug a coffee and then go into it. We really, really screwed up seeing it at 6 p.m., 6:30.
Can you remember when we left, there were still people going to watch it at like 9:30 going into Dune, a 3-hour movie?
I mean, those were the days of youth. I mean, I used to see a midnight premiere.
I don't think I went to one midnight release for Jackass 3D. Other than that, I did not get it. Like I remember a point in my life where I didn't even think about movie times. I would go to a later movie showing, but now it's just like out of the question for me.
Yeah, we don't really leave the house late. I had dinner with a friend a couple months ago and I was like, I want to grab drinks at like 6:45, dinner at 7:30. And she was like, initially I was like, dinner at 7:30? It worked out, but I was like, yeah, that's about how I feel these days.
Yeah, I am in a place right now where I feel myself getting older. It could also be the job that I have, but somebody the other day invited me to go out on a weeknight to do something. And just the thought of that, I was like, I'm not doing a weeknight. I can't do that. People do that. I only watch that in movies.
Yeah, we went to a run club event this week and the run didn't start till 6:30. We weren't home till like 7:45 and dinner till like 8:30. And I know that's what people do. Like people in New York, dinner after 8. Spain, dinner is until like 9 p.m.
But yeah, but Spain takes like a whole hour during the day to just chill.
We were both like, I don't know what to do with myself getting home this late. It was like 7:45 on a Wednesday.
What is it, midnight? It's 8:45, bro.
Yeah, earlier this week, you got in bed at like 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't go to sleep that early. I am a night owl. I joke that I have like a whole other life after you go to bed because I'm just awake till like 12 or 1. I physically cannot power down.
Yeah, I am entering the age where if we don't start a movie, 8 is the latest we could start a movie and me think I'm going to get through this. Anything after 8, I'm falling asleep in an hour.
And we can't watch anything on a Thursday night, because on a Thursday night, you're so tired and you still have work on Friday that on a Thursday night, you just like flop over on the couch and you're asleep on the couch.
Yeah.
So yeah, it really is like living with a geriatric person.
But I wake up early.
You do wake up early.
I'm alive in the morning.
I know. I've started asking you to open the blinds when you leave in the morning. I'm trying to get that circadian rhythm back on track, and it's not working out for me.
But for my worst of March, it goes to Imaginary, which is one of the worst horror movies I've seen in a really long time. And my favorite thing to do when going to the theater alone is to go watch a horror movie because you're not into them.
Nope.
I find it comforting to sit in a theater alone because I usually go during the day on like a Saturday. There's maybe one or two other people in there. A couple of times I've seen the same person, this like 65-year-old woman who apparently just loves horror movies. And I'm like, I've seen you here before. And she just sits there also by herself, gets her popcorn, gets her drink, and just enjoys a horror movie. There is a certain type of person who enjoys a horror movie like that. So,
and it's not me.
And it is not you. And I kind of bonded with her, even though I didn't say anything to her. But there's just something comforting about sitting in a dark theater with the anticipation of being scared.
That literally sounds like my worst nightmare.
Oh, I love it.
I don't know how you scare easily too, around the house.
Oh yeah, around the house I do.
I walk out of the bedroom and if you're not in my line of sight and you like see me all of a sudden, you are a cat jumping 10 feet in the air. I walked into your office earlier, you were walking out. Now I will say you scared me this time, but we're like two cats running into each other. So sitting in a dark theater preparing to be scared is my idea of hell.
I love the feeling, but as opposed to at home where you just turn a corner and I don't see you and you scare me, in a movie, it is so hard to evoke that same emotion in me. It is hard for me to be scared in a movie.
Anticipatory, like anxiety, just knowing that I'm going to be scared. I need a blanket over my head. I'm not watching. And I know these things aren't real in horror movies, but it doesn't matter. I'm still scared.
But when it came to Imaginary, there was no moment that I felt even a little bit scared. The other annoying thing about me is I can predict movies pretty well just by thinking about how this movie is written, how it's going to end.
Yeah, during Kung Fu Panda, there was a part where you predicted that Po, the panda, was going to fart.
And what did he do? He farted.
You leaned over and you were like, he's going to fart.
And you're like, how did you know that? I'm like, it's a kid's movie.
No, I attribute that to your brain being that of a 12-year-old.
I knew that sometimes I just know exactly what is going to happen and then it happens. In Imaginary, from the first 5 minutes, I knew everything that was going to happen and how it was going to go down. So for a movie called Imaginary, having no imagination whatsoever was horrible. It robbed me of that experience of going into a theater to be scared. So that was the worst thing I've seen in March.
Should we give some honorable mentions?
Yeah, on either side of it. What do you got?
Oh, I was going to do like TV.
Oh yeah, go for it.
We've been watching Expats on Amazon Prime, which is not new, but we have a couple episodes left. A nice 6-episode limited series, wrap up quick. It's got Nicole Kidman. Her best work is in limited series. She's great. I feel like that's the only thing we've been watching this month.
For me, it is X-Men 97.
What? Oh, I thought you were about to throw me under the bus with my reality show watching. I'll talk about that in a second.
Mine is X-Men 97. I was a huge fan of X-Men, the animated series in the 90s. Has the best theme song in any animated show of all time. And that show was very Saturday morning cartoon-esque. Wasn't a whole lot to it. The plot lines are pretty simple. It was mainly just the nostalgia factor of I watched it so much as a kid. And now on Disney Plus, they have brought back the series. But the series has aged with all the people who are a fan of the original one. So there's an actual solid plot line. The animation is different. It really feels like a comic book come to life. And it's one of the best depictions of X-Men I've ever seen because the movies can be really hit or miss. I think 1 through 3 are solid. After that, you get into some weird territory. There's some really bad X-Men movies, but it works so well as an animated series. It is the only show right now that as soon as a new episode goes up on Wednesday, I am dying to watch it. I think if you are a fan of Marvel and haven't given any of their animated shows a chance, even if you tried What If or any of the other animated shows, this is the only one I really recommend.
Are you going to watch that this Saturday morning?
Yeah.
Should I get out the Fruity Pebbles candle for you?
Yes, that's perfect. Because it comes out on Wednesdays, And some people said, oh, they missed opportunity here of not releasing it on Saturday. Just hold it till Saturday to give you that feeling again.
I have a candle that's called Can't Adult Today. And it smells like, the description is like cereal milk and not paying bills. And it really does smell like Fruity Pebbles. So I will let you, I'll get that out so you can light it Saturday morning and watch it.
Perfect.
And then my reality TV show that I can't stop watching is Welcome to Plathville on TLC.
And when she says she can't stop watching it, you really can't stop watching it. You will have it on at night, and then any moment you get, you're turning on an episode. I haven't seen anybody run through a series so quickly.
I was also sick last week. True. So took a sick day, and well, I didn't. I was sick, so I slept till like 2 p.m., but then I did wake up and watch Plathville for about 5 hours and then go back to bed. It did nurse me back to life. My best friend and I started it when I was in Denver. I'm not going to go into what it's about, but it's just about family, and it's quality TLC. Reality television. It's my addiction lately.
Do with that what you will. All right, we'll get...
I was trying to think if I had a book honorable mention. I don't actually know that I have one for this.
All right,
month.
We'll get to the movie news, and then if you have a book, we'll do it at the end.
Okay, I'll be thinking.
So we're going to do thumbs up, thumbs down on whether or not you're excited about these movies.
Now I have to vocalize this because no one can see me exactly. Giving a thumbs up or thumbs down.
First up, Joker 2 is apparently a $200 million jukebox musical.
And Gnar. Thumbs down. Giant thumbs down.
I feel a little conflicted on this because I knew it was going to be a musical, but the detail of it being a jukebox musical, which if you're not familiar with that, essentially a normal musical is all original songs. A jukebox musical is them covering songs. So like Mamma Mia has all ABBA songs. That is a jukebox musical. In this movie, they're doing a lot of like classical songs from like 30s, 40s, 50s, songs like The Bandwagon is one of the songs in the movie. That's entertainment. That is the part that I feel a little bit weird about. And I try not to be...
Lady Gaga just can't not sing.
Yeah, she really can't. Like, that was the reason I was hoping. I thought the casting was good because I thought, like, oh, we're going to see a different side of Lady Gaga to be in a really dark movie.
Lady Gaga just wants to sing.
But now she is just in a full-on musical. I wanted to see her in a movie where she doesn't sing. Now, I think this movie is going to be very dark and twisted, so I feel like the musical aspect is going to be very deranged in a way. I'm hoping Todd Phillips knows what he is doing here and that it's going to make sense when we see it.
Maybe the music will make the movie make me less anxious than the first one because I can't rewatch that movie. I know you love it, but it physically, I like start showing symptoms of anxiety. Like my heart rate rises, I feel sweaty, I just like... Something about that movie, anxiety central for me.
It gets really dark. And at the time it came out, it very much a mirror of what was happening in the country at that time. So I think that's why a lot of people had issues with it. So I feel like Joker 2 is going to have that same darkness. And to kind of offset that, they're going to be like big musical numbers.
Because break into song.
Yeah, like the characters are very deranged. It's about somebody's descent into madness. So I feel like the musical is going to be this weird fantasy. I don't know how that's going to go back and forth.
Musical might descend me into madness.
But the fact that it costs $200 million, that's an expensive musical. So your thumbs down?
Giant thumbs down.
I'm still thumbs up, but it's a little shaky.
It's solid thumbs down.
Another sequel in the works is the Happy Gilmore 2 script is reportedly... at least in a first draft. The first one came out back in 1996, which is a long time. I am worried about this because I don't think Adam Sandler doing a Happy Gilmore 2 at this point is really going to do it justice.
I'm
going to
give a mid thumb. Like, I'm not thumbs up or thumbs down. I'm thumb to the side.
I'm going to go thumbs down right now because when it comes to comedies, Adam Sandler really hasn't crushed it as far as putting out a new really great comedy. I feel like the closest he's got to kind of capturing the energy from his early movies is like the murder mystery movies.
But that's pretty funny.
But aside from that, if it has like that same Grown Ups level vibe to it.
Hey, Grown Ups 1, hilarious. Grown Ups 2, subpar. But Grown Ups 1, I remember a certain someone laughing a lot.
I do like Grown Ups, but it's a whole different level of Adam Sandler. Like Happy Gilmore is him in his prime.
Yeah.
I attribute his two best movies being Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison. I'm a bigger fan of Billy Madison.
See, I'm going to go Big Daddy.
Oh, yeah, that's later. That's right before the 2000 stuff where it kind of went a little bit downhill. I also love, yeah, Big Daddy.
But I can wipe my own ass.
Will somebody get this kid a Happy Meal? So, of all the movies for him to remake, I would rather have, honestly, a Big Daddy 2. Or a Billy Madison 2.
Yeah.
This is kind of third down there, just because maybe the fan base is bigger, maybe because of the sports aspect of it. Then he's going to bring in all like a bunch of sports people, and for them, it's just going to be like a cool cameo. But when you get all these cameos in there, it takes away from the story.
It just starts feeling like a commercial.
Yeah, then it's just everybody, them getting all these big stars so they can promote it on social media, so it does better at the box office, and then it just becomes a big commercial. So that is why I am giving that a thumbs down. Next up on movie news, apparently Scarlett Johansson is going to be in the new Jurassic Park movie. So they are reviving it yet again without Chris Pratt, without Bryce Dallas Howard, and instead it's going to be Scarlett Johansson.
I'm confused. We're doing a third.
Yes, another reboot of Jurassic Park. It's supposed to come out on July 2nd, 2025. It'll be the seventh chapter in the Jurassic universe. For anybody to get Scarlett Johansson, I feel like that would be pretty good.
I'm going thumbs down because I'm so sick of reviving things 8,000 times within a lifetime.
I don't really see this as a full revival reboot. I feel like it's just a continuation of what they just did with all of these movies.
Which, might I add, was not about dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to that episode.
The last one with them bringing back the original cast and Laura Dern and all that.
We went downhill. The movie was not about dinosaurs.
Yeah, it was not.
I stand by that.
So hopefully, taking away all of the aspects that try to hold on to the original one from the 90s. Because, I mean, dinosaurs are awesome.
And dinosaurs are awesome, but, like, I don't know. I mean, we already got a lot of Godzillas.
I feel like dinosaurs are having a comeback.
And then we got the Kong, and we got, like, the Planet of the Apes. Got a lot of gorillas, monkeys, dinosaurs.
Too many big animals.
There's a lot going on.
Only for the reason that Scarlett Johansson is attached to it as of now, I give it a thumbs up.
I do love ScarJo.
Also in revival news, Pirates of the Caribbean is going to reboot the franchise.
I am giving two thumbs down. I'm putting my big toes down. I am putting every appendage down right now. No.
There are rumors that Margot Robbie is attached. Not confirmed. That is just what they are speculating.
Margot Robbie is so smart. Stop rebooting things.
I'm going to go thumbs down on this one because as a whole, the Pirates of the Caribbean movies went so downhill. So
my least favorite, like, fantasy whatever franchise of all time. I also just don't like Johnny Depp.
I love the first one, love the second one. But after that, they went really downhill. I remember going to see the last one in theaters and it was pretty bad. But even a pretty bad Pirates of the Caribbean movie is still slightly entertaining to me because they are so big, elaborate.
Theatrical.
There's a lot to them. Even a bad one is still entertaining and you throw it on cable and it's like, oh yeah, this makes sense.
So you're telling me no one in Hollywood has a single original thought.
I think they do, but I think whenever headlines come out, the ones that grab them are the big movies that people know. They have the bigger actors attached to them. You don't really see a lot of people talking about Civil War right now.
Yeah, but like, make something good, new, original.
Even for me that I try to defend reboots and sequels, I'm getting a little bit tired of them at this point. It comes down to business. They're just trying to make some money, and movies are a bad investment for the most part. That reviving something that already has a built-in fan base is seen as, this is what we should be doing.
I have a contribution to a revival or a sequel. I did see that they're making a John Tucker Must Die 2, and I know I'm usually don't make a sequel of like movies that I loved, but I would like to see that one come back. You've never watched John Tucker Must Die, have you?
Mm-mm.
Okay, it's required watching. All soon, right. We'll watch it together. Hilarious, early 2000s teen rom-com. It was a great genre. Now that I would watch because most of the original actors are attached to it and have worked on the script. So it could be good, but that's my contribution. I'll give that one a thumbs up.
And finally, in revival news, they are going to make a sequel to A Simple Favor. They have the original writer and director coming back for that. It looks like Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively will also be back. I remember this was prime
pandemic
watching. We watched the first one where there was a point during the pandemic, during lockdown, where we watched a new movie every night or one that we haven't seen.
That was a great time. Well, finally, because we were like in the same city after the month apart. But yeah, it was a great. We just would watch something new every night. We'd finish work. That was before I moved in like all of my furniture. So you had like a couch.
Mm. Yeah, that's all I had.
It was a bachelor pad. You had a singular large leather sectional. Yeah, and we would just curl up and watch movies.
And of all the movies we watched, this was the one that I really associate with that time.
That and Missing, or was it Searching? Which one was first?
Searching was for, ooh, I forget which one. Searching and Missing are essentially a sequel to the other one.
Searching?
I think it's Searching, yes. And then, yeah, Missing is where the mom is missing.
Yeah.
Searching is where he's searching for his daughter. Yeah, okay.
Searching and A Simple Favor, I associate with that time.
So just for the reason that I associate it, even though that was a bad time, there were some moments in that were
fun
memories. And I associate A Simple Favor with that time. So for that reason, I give it a thumbs up and we'll check it out.
I definitely give that one a thumbs up. I love Blake Lively.
And did you have your book that you wanted to talk
yes,
about?
Yes. I was trying to think if I don't think I said this one for February because I don't think I finished it until, I don't think I finished it till Women's Day. Nonfiction. It's called The Exceptions. It's about women in STEM fields and fighting for like academic recognition, like tenure and getting a PhD. It's a really good like exploratory reporting. And I've now since bought two more books about like women in like different professions. One's about like women in the CIA and one's about the women who were code breakers during World War II who would like intercept and decode the Germans coding. So I love like exploratory writing like that.
I'm still trying to finish the one book I started this year. I'll get there.
You'll get there eventually.
It's a lot easier for me to finish comic books. I read a lot of those this year. When it comes to regular books, I wish I was more of a reader.
You wish you were like me.
I really do. I wish I could just finish one.
And I know you pick up books and you're like, this is really interesting. I'm really going to love this one. Yeah. Have you started on those giant Marvel books I bought you for Christmas?
I have.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've read a solid 3 or 4 chapters in those.
You were going to say 3 or 4 pages.
No. I got further than that.
The intro.
There's also a lot of big pictures in that.
There are a lot of pictures.
All right. We'll come back and talk about Godzilla and Kong. And then in the trailer park, we'll talk about Bad Boys, Ride or Die.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Let's get into it now. A spoiler-free review of Godzilla and Kong, A New Empire. Going to be a really fun and easy review to do today because that's just the type of movie this is. This was me going in to watch this movie. Here's the switch on my brain. Turned it completely off. Now, the MonsterVerse is interesting. It started back 10 years ago now with Godzilla in 2014. This was the reintroduction of Godzilla and then later Kong to the American audience, which had really been absent for a while now, even though Godzilla has 35 plus almost 40 films in its legacy, one of the most historic franchises of all time. But really, the best ones come out of Japan. And the American ones don't really get it right. And I feel like after watching Godzilla Minus One, I am completely spoiled. But the interesting thing about the MonsterVerse, they didn't really start out making these big, hokey, dumb movies. That is now kind of what they have evolved into, really leaning into that playfulness. So if you know that, and that is the type of movie you want to watch, I think you go into the theater and have an amazing time, because that is exactly what this movie is now. In this one, not really a whole lot to the plot. Essentially, it takes place after the first one, which it does help to see Godzilla and Kong, mainly so you know what's going on with their beef, also with them quickly getting into what Hollow Earth is, which is greatly described in part one. It's essentially this ancient subterranean deep ecosystem in Earth where there's like no gravity, it's close to the planet's core, and all these other titans live. Kong goes back and forth between the two. So to really get to know what that is, you have to watch the first one. I don't think you'd be completely lost, but they do spend a lot of time there, so it would help to know that. And it would help to know why they beef, because there's a moment in the movie that would really only be gratifying if you watched the first one. But hey, there's also not a lot to grasp onto. If you Google it before you watch it, I think you'll understand. You'll be fine. It's basically just two monsters fighting a bunch of other monsters. Not a whole lot to get. And that is exactly what the entire plot is. You have Godzilla and Kong still at opposite ends, but now there is this new threat forming that is bigger and stronger, and they're going to have to team up to take them on. So what you do get in this movie is a lot of big, fun action, and I think it does demand the big screen because it is a spectacle to watch. It's almost to the point that I don't even think you need the humans anymore, even though Brian Tyree Henry is the comic relief in this movie. Rebecca Hall is pretty good too. But you don't really go into this movie wanting to see any acting performances because they are doing the bare minimum, really. There really isn't much of a script. There's no character development. I will say when it comes to the dialogue between the first one and this one, it really took a dip. So I don't even think you need the humans anymore. I would find it more interesting if they just had the Titans on the screen the entire time. Kind of reminded me a little bit of Planet of the Apes, because the majority of that movie is just the apes communicating with each other. So problem you get into is Godzilla is not communicating with anybody. He's not learning sign language. He's not going to express his emotions. He is just going to be Godzilla the way he is. So I think that leads into why Kong is featured more in the movie, because if there is going to be any kind of three-dimensional character, it is going to be Kong because he is the most human-like. You're not really going to get that from Godzilla. And what that ended up causing for me was too much Kong. I am much more of a Godzilla fan. In the first one, I wanted Godzilla to win at all costs. I think he is the ultimate titan. But this one spends a majority of the time with Kong. And it's different from how I felt in Godzilla Minus One, where Godzilla was used a little bit more conservatively, but it was also more calculated, because in Godzilla Minus One, when Godzilla was on screen, it was important. He came in, he destroyed something, he had a plan, and then he went away. In a film like Godzilla and Kong, A New Empire, it's not really that same level of execution. You have big monsters running around the entire time. For the better half of the movie, it is all just visual effects and animated characters moving along all the scenes. So it's not like they're limiting the use of the Titans. You're really getting a lot of them, but you don't really get a whole lot of Godzilla. I think they should switch it up in this case and give you just more Godzilla. I want him hanging out. I do like some of the scenes and shots in the movie where he's like taking a nap inside of the Colosseum. That was the most human-esque quality that we had for Godzilla. He basically turned into a big cat. So I think there is some kind of middle ground for these movies to find of being something a little bit more sophisticated like a Godzilla Minus One, but also having the playfulness like Shin Godzilla, which kind of walks that line of being a little bit campy, but also has a little bit of a sense of realism. So if they could rein that in a little bit, I think these movies could go from good to great. But again, I think what they are really leaning into is the big dumb action. It really feels more like a Transformers movie. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Avatar with him going to Hollow Earth. And then, of course, it has that Planet of the Apes sci-fi vibe to it. So it's a little bit of all of those and then its own just mindless, big screen demanding action. So my favorite parts were watching Godzilla. Everything that followed him, I loved it. You see how he kind of evolves into what you see in the trailer of him turning pink. So I thought that part was cool. But to get to that part, you're going to have to get over some of the introduction scenes. One in particular of Kong having a toothache and them calling in a dentist to fix his tooth. At that point, I kind of realized, oh, this is the direction they're going with this movie. And then it did spend about an hour ramping up into the action where it was really just a lot of them hanging out, exploring Hollow Earth, which visually looks really cool. I think there's a lot of different places you can explore there. Again, I think they should spend the entirety of the movie down there. Take the humans out of it. We don't need them. And just give us Kong and Godzilla finding and fighting all of these weird looking titans. And the fact that this movie opened up to $80 million this past weekend is astonishing to me. Overall, the five films so far, not including the new one, have grossed almost $2 billion at the box office for just a monkey and a lizard fighting each other. Which proves to me that people still want to see stuff like this. I still want to see stuff like this. Because you're not going to go in and watch a movie that is going to change your life. But you're going to see one big dumb animal fighting another big dumb animal. Then you start to get emotionally involved with these big dumb animals. And you're like, why do I care so much about this radioactive lizard? I don't know, but I want him to win. So I'm still Team Godzilla all the way. I can't believe they put his name first in the movie title and then gave him less screen time. Dude is coming off an Oscar win and you give him less screen time than Kong? Unbelievable. Other than that, I think it's a really fun time at the movies. Again, shut off your brain. Just go in to watch something mindless, dumb, big fun action. I give Godzilla and Kong: A New Empire 3.5 out of 5 atomic breaths. I said breaths, not breasts. Thank you.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
It's time to head down to Movie Mike's Trailer Park.
We've been speaking about revivals and reboots, and that is what we have coming our way in theaters on June 7th. It is the fourth film in the Bad Boys franchise, Bad Boys Ride or Die. My first issue with this movie is the title, because they called Part 3 Bad Boys for Life. So missed opportunity there. This one should have been Bad Boys the Number 4. Life, I think that would have been perfect. Maybe they weren't anticipating making another movie after the one that came out in 2020, which was one of the last movies I saw in theaters. Because when I was looking back at all the movies in the Bad Boys franchise and seeing that this one came out in 2020, I was like, how did it come out in 2020 if I saw it in theaters? But it came out at the start of the year in January and actually had a really good box office run, which we'll get into some of the numbers that this franchise has put up here in a bit. But man, it should have been called Bad Boys for Life. Maybe that's just me. Anyway, this one takes place where the last one left off. Martin Lawrence and Will Smith are trying to clear the name of their PD, Captain Howard. He is said to have been working with some drug cartels. They know that's not the truth. But it looks like the evil plan here is to drag their captain's name through the mud and in turn get them into some hot water. They become fugitives and go on the run. So it turns into them trying to clear their own name. So before I get into more about Bad Boys Ride or Die, here's just a little bit of the trailer.
He's texting us from the other side.
No, he's not, Marcus. If he's seeing this, I'm probably dead.
I don't know how high up this goes, but don't trust anybody. You're my bad boys. Now clear my name.
You're being set up, detectives. Are y'all stealing our clothes?
Just because we black?
Look at your shirt.
Why don't you sing us a little Reba song?
Reba.
Sing your favorite.
I'm a woman.
I'm a strong black woman.
Strong.
Yeah, because she's not black.
Yes.
What you gonna do? What you gonna...
That ain't no Reba song.
It's from her mixtape.
I actually thought that moment there was pretty funny. When it comes to comedy action movies, Bad Boys as a whole are in the top five of the franchises that come to mind. Will Smith's career has taken a big hit, no pun intended, since the Oscar incident where he slapped Chris Rock. The thing about reputations is they are so finicky. Oftentimes an actor is one bad movie away from audiences turning on them. That is how hard it is to maintain a good reputation. And with Will Smith coming back from that incident, it's been a struggle for him. And let's not forget that he won that night for Best Actor. Usually when an actor wins that award, their career goes on a skyrocket trajectory, even for somebody as established as Will Smith, who had been wanting to win that Oscar for a very long time. His career has had quite the opposite effect. He put out Emancipation, which was one of his best, more dramatic roles. That still didn't get him on the map. So maybe doing another Bad Boys movie is the best step for him right now. But he even just shut down his charity because of lack of donations. So it is a hard thing to come back from. I feel like one good movie could put people back in positive spirits when it comes to Will Smith. Aside from him, I think the real star of these movies is Martin Lawrence. He is so underrated and underappreciated as a comedic actor. Great stand-up, also had a great show in the 90s. Martin was a show I would watch all the time, and he has translated from TV to film really well. Blue Streak is one of my favorite 90s comedy action movies of all time. And in this trailer, you see him being the real comic relief, which he has been in the Bad Boys movies, but there's a scene in particular where he's dancing on the roof in a hospital gown showing off his junk. And I just think, man, Martin Lawrence has really just carried the comedy franchise as a whole. And these movies always have a lot of that, a lot of comedy, a lot of great action, chase scenes, explosions. Michael Bay did the first one and the second one. Wasn't involved in the third one, isn't involved in this one, but it still has that Michael Bay look to it, that almost orangish tint, those real low action-defying angles when it comes to the car chase scenes, and you know it's going to be loaded up with explosions. A lot of great cars. These movies now are essentially superhero movies in disguise because Martin Lawrence and Will Smith are essentially bulletproof and the bad guys just can't seem to take them down. So they are superheroes. They may not be running around in tights and capes, but essentially it's so ridiculous and the action is so over top that these are superhero movies. The thing about making an action movie like this at their age, which they were much younger back in the 90s in the first one, is that you're going to have to make even more old guy jokes, which was kind of the whole thing and the premise behind Bad Boys for Life. It was them older, talking about ointments and their body not being what it used to be. It looks like in this trailer, they are ramping that up even a little bit more. Seems to me that this one is leaning in even more to the R rating. There was so much profanity in this trailer, and it looks like they are even ramping up the violence a little bit. But on top of that, it looks like they are also stepping up the action. There's a sequence in this trailer where they are in a helicopter. It appears to be the point in the movie where they discover that they are being set up and then the helicopter goes down. That scene actually looks pretty legit. And when it comes to the money-making factor of this franchise, it starts to make a lot of sense of why they are doing another movie. These movies have been all successful at the box office. The first one back in 1995 made $141 million, and they were each only paid about $2 million each to star in that movie. Bad Boys 2 came out in 2003 and made $273 million. Bad Boys for Life came out back in 2020 in January and made $425 million at the box office, which was astonishing to me. And given what happened in the later half of 2020 and everything shutting down in March, it went on to be one of the highest grossing movies of that year. And overall, when it comes to Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, Will Smith has made $39 million for all three movies. Martin Lawrence has made $32 million. Overall, a little bit less than Will Smith. He can negotiate for a lot more because his name is first up on the billing. So far, it hasn't been reported exactly what they were making for this one. I would assume in the $20 to $25 million range to get them back for a fourth movie. Will Smith would probably be on the 25. I could see Martin Lawrence taking $20, even $19 million. That seems to be the differential between the two actors. Although I think they should get paid equally, because I'm going for Martin Lawrence just as much as I'm going for Will Smith, if not more. And I'm quite surprised, because I thought I would think that this movie would be kind of cash grabby. I didn't think I would want to see it after watching this trailer. I've been seeing them talk about it, but it always just feels like one of those franchises of them just trying to get back to those glory days of part one and part two. But after watching the trailer and seeing some of the comedy and seeing some of the action, which I remember having a good time going to see Bad Boys Part 3 in theaters, I didn't think I would even be interested in wanting to see this movie, but it's coming out in June. So it also has that big summer blockbuster effect too, which I love. My favorite time of the year is summer blockbuster season. And I think this movie is going to have big action flick this summer written all over it. It comes down to, do audiences really want this at this point? Because as much money as part three made, I don't know if that audience is still as passionate and rabid for another installment just 4 years after. Because if you look at these other movies, they are spaced out way, way further out. Even between part one and part two, that was 8 years. And then it was 17 years later that we got part three. And now just 4 years later, we get part four. So a big part of three coming out in 2020 was that it had been so long, and now it was them older, and there was that running joke going on that I just think 4 years after isn't a significant amount of time for it to dominate as much as it did 4 years ago. And to be quite honest, between 2019 and 2024 feels like an eternity, but it also feels like no time has passed whatsoever. So if you would have asked me when that movie came out, you could have told me 2 years ago and it would have made sense to me. So I don't think it's going to meet those same box office expectations that it did. I don't think this one will hit that $425 million mark. I honestly think for this one, it's going to be really hard for it to even get to $250 million. Will even be hard just to get to 200, to be honest. But to me, this still looks like a fun time at the movie. So I will definitely be going to check this one out and see how it ranks up with the other three films. Again, that is coming out in theaters this summer on June 7th.
And that was this week's edition of Movie Minds Trailer Park.
And that is going to do it for another episode here of the podcast. But before I go, I got to give my listener shout out of the week. I do this every single week to a listener who tags me in your Instagram story, sends me an email, moviemikeD@gmail.com, comments on my Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, all those things. You can always find the links to all my social media in the episode notes. But this week we are going over to Instagram, and I posted a reel last week from the obscure movie quote game, and I really love seeing how many you all got right. I think overall in the reel I posted, three was probably the most common answer of how many people got right. There was really only one person that got 0 out of 5, but also only one person who got 5 out of 5. And that is this week's listener shout out of the week. PD Beats on Instagram said 5 out of 5, too easy. I did not think those were too easy. They were really obscure. The last one is so quick that you really have to be dialed in to get that one. So PD Beats, you are this week's listener shout out of the week after going 5 for 5 on the obscure movie quote game. If you want to go check out that reel or the TikTok, it is up there. See how you stand up, because I did post one on there that I did not do on last week's episode. Miss that episode, go back 1 in the feed, go back 2 in the feed, go back 3 in the feed of all the episodes you might have missed. Be sure you're subscribed to get new episodes every single Monday. And until next time, go out, watch good movies, and I will talk to you later.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases, and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip. Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.